The True Vine Charismatic Church International presents our weekly audio podcast with Reverend Tete Jangma. Let this message fill you with the Word of God.
And that topic sought to correct our way of speaking and correct our way of believing. Our way of believing and speaking starts with our mindset, the way we think. Until we make an adjustment in the way we think, we will not be able to believe the right things and say the right things to our advantage. Today, I'm going to tackle one of the things that is likely to affect the way we speak. You see, there may be a situation that sometimes induces negative speaking. And one of such things is discouragement. I'm preaching on the topic, the things that discourage. The things that discourage. The things that encourage motivate you. The things that encourage spur you on. The things that encourage inspire you. They make you look into the future with great expectation. They bring a lot of energy to you, and you work hard and press on toward your goal. Now, so what is it to discourage? To be discouraged means to be dispirited, as if your spirit just went out of you. To be discouraged means to be disheartened. You see, it is with the heart that we believe. And when we get disheartened, it's as if we don't have the capacity to believe for the best anymore. So number one, discouraged means to be dispirited. Two, disheartened. Three, to be demoralized. Sometimes you get demoralized when there is a setback. You feel cast down. You feel that your hopes have been dashed. You feel depressed. You feel despondent. And then you feel a sense of loss of confidence and enthusiasm. When people get discouraged, they lose their confidence. Confidence to live. Confidence to push on, confidence to believe God for things in the future, and they also lose their enthusiasm. Enthusiasm is the interest that you have in things. If you have enthusiasm to pray, you will pray. You have enthusiasm to read the word, you will study it. And if you have enthusiasm to come to church, you will come to church. Even if you haven't got money, you'll find the money. Enthusiasm will make you find the money. When there's a relationship between two people who are courting, and the enthusiasm at one end is always going down, the likelihood that that relationship will succeed into marriage is most unlikely. It takes enthusiasm or interest at both ends of the relationship to make it work. Similarly, when there is a marriage and one or the other spouse does not show interest in many matters, again, it affects the commitment of the other person. So enthusiasm is a very important ingredient in life. The way you wake up from bed tells whether you are enthusiastic about life or not. Can I hear an amen? Oh, I didn't hear an amen. I didn't hear. Ask the next person, are you enthusiastic about achieving so much this year? Ask the next person. Ask. If you're not enthusiastic, then you go through the motions. If you're not enthusiastic, you wake up and feel tired. If you're not enthusiastic, things of the spirit don't interest you. God created us to have passion, drive, and interest. And when we begin to lose our interest just for living, we are in trouble. If you have a ward who goes to school and has no interest in studies, you are in trouble. Because the results would not show out very well. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? If I don't have enthusiasm, I would not have prepared today's message. I didn't hear an amen. If you have enthusiasm, you don't even need to have money. Some people who have enthusiasm can walk for 10 miles. Nobody is paying them. Why would somebody say, I'm going to sing for 5 days nonstop, observing regulations of the Guinness Book of Records as a singathon? Why would somebody say, I'm going to cook for 10 days? Nobody is paying me, but I'm going to stay awake. I'm going to deny myself some sleep and cook nonstop for 10 days. It takes some enthusiasm. And if there's no enthusiasm, you don't follow your dream. If there's no enthusiasm, you don't follow your passion. If there's no enthusiasm, you are not interested in anything in your life. Even your appearance becomes shabby. But show me a man who is enthusiastic about life, and I will show you a man who is aspiring to achieve. If I have enthusiastic people listening to me, can they enthusiastically clap to the throne of God? To be discouraged means to be disappointed. The gentleman set the wedding date and said that June of last year we were going to get married. Around April, I saw that his behavior had changed. Then May, he was asking us to defer it to next year. I asked which specific month. He couldn't tell me. You find that such a lady will become dispirited. She will be wondering what the future of that relationship is. So, to be encouraged is a blessing, and I'm here to encourage you this morning. So you too, encourage me with your clap and your shout. Can I hear an amen? A father may be discouraged, but when a wife is not discouraged, she can encourage him. The parents could be discouraged, but when the children are not discouraged, they can encourage the parents. A pastor may feel discouraged, but when the congregation is enthusiastic, they become the motivating factor that push pastor on and say, Pastor, we are with you. In fact, we are raising an intercessory team, and for the next 3 days, we are praying with you. Oh, isn't that encouraging? So one of the things that drives us in life, the one energy is to be encouraged. One energy is to be enthusiastic. The people that are enthusiastic about cooking are always in the kitchen. Am I speaking the truth? There are some people who like ironing. I don't like ironing very much. I don't. Ask the next person, do you really like ironing? I don't like it. I'm not enthusiastic about ironing. But I love the people who can stay in that heat. And, you know, a shirt or khaki trousers that has been starched and looks firm and hard, they will soften it with droplets of water. Then they will take their time and get the line. And when they're ironing, the steam is rising from the thing. And they stand for 3 hours. I said, They surprise me. Because I can't iron 3 hours. I've met some amazing fathers whenever I traveled and went to some families. You find that the fathers like ironing. And they would take their wives' things and their children's things and iron on Sunday morning. And sometimes I would say, hey, man of God, this anointing is big. Because my enthusiasm is somewhere else. Oh, you're not clapping for me. Life, if you have no interest in something, you don't pursue it. Those who are interested in prosperity, they will pray, they will confess the word, they will give, they will believe the word. There are some who are there, they don't really care, they don't mind. It is when things get very hard, that is when they make an effort. And when they get what they want, they relapse into what they were in and they are not interested. You must have continuous enthusiasm. Discouragement may want to bring breaks in your enthusiasm, but you must be restored. Can I hear an amen? I'm going to give you some reasons why some people get discouraged. And as we get along, we'll look at the antidote or the solution to how to resolve that. Number one is going through unfamiliar terrain. Going through unfamiliar terrain. People get discouraged when they have to go through a situation that they are not very familiar with. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? Now, in Numbers chapter 21, verse 4, Numbers 21, verse 4, it says, and they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. And the soul of the Israelites was not ordinarily discouraged, but it was much discouraged because of the way. There was a short route that God could have taken them through in 40 days. But because God wanted to see what was in their heart, he took them through a much longer route or route. And Israel didn't seem to understand, and they were going around Mount Seir and meandering and going around Mount Seir. And the Bible says as they were going around, the heart of the people got much discouraged. May you not be even discouraged at all. So in their discouragement, they started talking by heart. They started speaking indiscreetly. They started saying things that were not wise. I was checking the meaning of the expression, their soul was much discouraged. And I realized that it means, and they became impatient. They became discouraged because they lost their patience. In Deuteronomy chapter 2 verse 1, the Bible says, then we turn back, Deuteronomy chapter 2 verse 1. Then we turn back and headed for the wilderness by way of the Red Sea, as the Lord instructed me. And for many days we wandered around Mount Seir. You see what happened to them. God instructed Moses that this is the way I'm leading you. Moses followed the instructions of God. And Israel followed along. But Israel were not happy. Because for many days they were wandering around Mount Seir. Look at Numbers chapter 21 verse 5. Numbers 21 verse 5. And the people spoke against Moses. Sorry, they spoke first against God and against Moses. Wherefore ye have brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water. And our soul loatheth this light bread. Let me take it again. And the people spoke against God and against Moses. You see how discouragement can affect people to talk against God. They spoke against God without realizing it. They spoke against Moses. And they say, why have you brought us out of Egypt to die in this wilderness? Then they went on to enumerate their problems. For there is no bread, neither is there any water. And our soul loatheth this light bread. Let me explain. Our soul loatheth this light bread. It means our soul detests this miserable food. Our soul detests this wretched food. Our soul detests this worthless bread. They were referring to the manna. This miserable food. This wretched food. This worthless bread. We are tired of it. We are tired. If you have something to eat, thank God for it. Oh, put your hands together, somebody. If you have to eat the same thing and repeat it in the evening, thank God for it. While you are eating this thing for the second time, thank God for it. Because if there was nothing to eat the whole day, you are in trouble. It is better to thank God than to complain. And be like Israel, who said they took manna, manna, kaklo, manna, abolo, manna, rice water, manna this, manna that. No, thank God. If you haven't got much clothing and you have just a few and you have to repeat the same thing, thank God for it. Don't complain. Don't speak against God. Look at Psalm 78, verse 19. Psalm 78, verse 19. They spoke against God, saying, can God really prepare a table in the wilderness? They spoke against God. They didn't mind. And it is an unwise heart that speaks that way. Can God really prepare a table for us in the wilderness? Was it not God who opened the way for them in the Red Sea? Was it not God who destroyed their enemies? Was it not God that changed the waters of Marah into sweetness? And was it not God who defeated their enemies? Now they are asking, can God provide us with food in the wilderness? Sometimes ordinary food can make you sin big against God. And when God gave them flesh, it passed through their nose. Look at Numbers 14:3. Numbers 14:3. Why is the Lord bringing us into this land to fall by the sword? Or our wives and children will become plunder. Would it not be better for us to go back to Egypt? Why did God bring us into this land to make us die by the sword of the enemies? That our children will be robbed and their goods taken away? Or wouldn't it be better that we organize ourselves and went back to Egypt? Egypt was a place of bondage. Egypt had no future for them. Egypt was a place of slavery. And Egypt was a place where they were treated with not like human beings. So why tell God that you are going back? Listen to me. The challenges you face to get to Canaan is better than the energy you use to go back to Egypt. Somebody must clap for that. Remember, they got to a place. So Discouragement can occur at the beginning of a venture. It can occur in the middle of a venture. And it can occur at the end of a venture. So discouragement can start at the beginning. It started right from the Red Sea. When they got there, they started complaining. In the wilderness, when they faced enemies or shortage of water, they started complaining. When they were close to entering Canaan, they started complaining. So God is teaching us this early, so we'll identify that thing called discouragement, and we won't allow it to ruin our career. Can I hear an amen? It was God who spoke to Moses that he will lead them into a land that floweth with milk and honey. And it was the same God who spoke to Moses when they were close to the promised land that he told them to send 12 spies selected from each tribe, leaders. It was God. It was in Moses' mind. So turn with me to verse 18 of Numbers 13, yes. It says, they were to spy out the land to determine whether the inhabitants were strong or weak. Notice that. Whether the inhabitants were few or many. Whether they that dwelt in the land dwelt in tents or in strongholds. Whether the people were fat or lean. And whether the land was wooded or the land was bare like a desert. In verse 28, the report from the spying of Canaan had come back. And the report was like this. The people were strong that dwelt there. The cities were walled and very great. Then it went on, and they were of the descendants of Anak. And fourthly, they said, we were not able to challenge these people because they were stronger than us. And fifthly, they said in verse 32, the land eateth us, or the land eateth its inhabitants. And all the people that saw the men of great stature, and all the people who were there saw men of great stature and giants. Look at verse 33. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so were we in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. And so we were in our own as grasshoppers, and so were we in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so were we in their sight. Verse 32, and they brought up an evil report of the land. Discouragement, look at what is making them do. They are not seeing anything good, God said. They are not appreciating any good future for themselves. They are not believing in their capacity, their abilities. They forgot that God said, for I've given you the land and I've given you the victory. And they started enumerating the problems that they had and making the problem look so big that they look small in their own sight. And the enemies realized that these people are afraid of us. Let us stand, take our stance and not allow them to come in. I want you to know that it is not good to be discouraged. You will have opportunities to be discouraged, but recognize it and refuse it. Can I hear an amen? Decide you don't want it. It may be happening in the morning. By evening, you ought to have arrested it. If in the morning it's still back, you get up and you seek the face of God. Drive discouragement out, because it will change your mindset negatively. It will change what you believe negatively. and it will change what you say negatively. But God has called us to speak his word and to say what he has said, that salvation shall be established for us. Shout amen. Put your hands together, somebody. Can I hear an amen? Can I hear? So we are saying that the first way by which discouragement comes is going through an unfamiliar terrain. Number two is when you hear bad news. In fact, it is what I have just done. The people brought an evil report. 10 out of the 12 spies who were sent brought discouraging word. They said the cities were walled and great, and the people were strong that dwelt there, and they were of the descendants of Anak, and we are not able to challenge them because they are stronger than us, and the land eateth up its inhabitants. And in our sight we were like grasshoppers, and so were we in their sight. And they brought an evil report. An evil report is a distortion of the facts. It's a false information. It's a bad report. It's a negative report. It's a discouraging report. Number three factor that discourages people is unexpected attacks. We just finished fasting and prayer. Why am I getting so many attacks? 1 Samuel 34. Then David, 1 Samuel chapter 30 verse 4. Then David and the people who were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. David and his men of war went to settle in a region. They left their wives and children and their property behind to go look for better opportunities. When they came back, some group of people nearby from Ziklag had come to raid their camp and collected all their property and taking away captive the women, folk, and the children. And when David and co returned, they realized they had nothing. All they had been working for had been taken away. And they felt so dispirited. They felt so disillusioned. They felt so discouraged that they started weeping. In fact, David wept some. And all the others wept some. But the Bible says they wept so much that they went out of strength. Can I suggest something to you? While you are weeping in a situation, save some energy for prayers. Oh, I didn't hear what you are saying. Don't mourn and sorrow and weep so much that by the time you finish, you are hospitalized and you are under drips. A wise person saves energy for another day. So I'm not saying don't weep at a great loss. I'm not saying don't. But I'm saying while you are weeping, conserve energy to fight the devil that may have attacked. But don't weep till now you can't get up and come to church. Don't weep so much that now you can't eat and people are begging you to eat. Let nobody beg you to eat. I didn't hear an amen. Amen. David fasted, seeking the face of God so that the first child to be born by Bathsheba would not die. But the prophecy of God had to come true. So the child died. And after the child died, David got up and went to the dining room and said, bring food. And they brought food. In other words, David is telling us that you may mourn a person, but eating and mourning a person should be mutually exclusive. Yeah. Even if you can't eat, drink something healthy. I have a friend who lost a wife when their first child was getting engaged, their first daughter. And somehow, they don't know what occurred, and the wife could not breathe. They rushed her to the hospital, and it was a clot of blood in the lungs, deep vein thrombosis. So the engagement was to proceed, but she had been rushed to the hospital and she died. So later they came to tell this friend of mine that your wife is no more. And from then on, he would not eat. Doctors had to force tubes into his tummy and get fluids poured into his tummy. The doctor said, you will not die. They worked round the clock to survive him. As I speak to you today, he's fine. He's going about his normal duties. I didn't hear an amen. Sometimes what must ginger you is that there are children to be catered for. There is a household for you to look after. So you can't just allow yourself to be carried away like that. Who will cater for the children? I said, weep if you have to. But save some energy so that you can even receive your guest. Save some energy that you can walk about. Save some energy that you can pray. I remember when we were called, and one of my brothers called me and said, our elder brother had been rushed to the hospital, and we got there around 12:30 a.m. When we went, he was dead already. And I thanked the nurses, I thanked the doctors, and we left. When I came back home, I sat in the seat and I said, I'm not going to sleep. And I started praying. I prayed till morning, and we went back to cater for him to be sure that he was put in the right place. I wouldn't allow discouragement to grip me. No. Somebody said, Pastor, how can you pray? I prayed in tongues. That's why God created tongues. Shala ravaka, matua kapara da stikeye. The Bible says, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself, builds up himself, encourages himself, motivates himself, becomes more enthusiastic about life, and things cannot overwhelm you. If you agree with this word, why don't you shout hallelujah? Put your hands together. Yes. Church, you may be kicked out of a job, and I'm not hoping for that, but don't let that depress you. You may be kicked out of a relationship, and I'm not hoping for that, but don't let that make you feel your world has come to an end. You may be refused an opportunity, whether to travel or whatever, but pick yourself up. I didn't hear an amen. Men like Paul will endure prison because of this kind of mentality. They had not committed any offense. They had been arrested and thrown into jail. Besides, they were whipped and beaten mercilessly. But at midnight, oh come on, at midnight, they would rise up. Pastor, I gave some goods to somebody, and the person said he will return the money the following day. 3 months have elapsed, and he hasn't brought the money. Now I can't pray. Try and pray. I didn't hear an amen. I said pray. Don't stop praying. Attend church services. Don't stop it. Continue reading your Bible. If you can't read, listen to the word of God. Ginger your spirit. Energize your spirit. Rise above the occasion, because there are greater monies to get than what is locked up somewhere else. It is difficult to pastor a discouraged congregation. We all come, we greet one another, you go back home, then you are sad and sorrowful. Look at the congregation David was pastoring. Everybody started weeping. All kinds of weeping. And they wept till there was no more strength to weep. Did you see the lady who was doing the singathon? She sang until there was no more strength to sing. Oh, come on. It's okay. It's okay. I'm preaching the word. Are you hearing me? They wept until there was no more strength to weep. Check yourself. And David encouraged himself in the Lord. Check yourself. Am I weeping like an unbeliever? Or I know the place the person is going. Is that place not better than where we are? Especially if the person died in the Lord. Why would I sorrow like the unbeliever as if I have no God? The same God who released the person is the same God who has called the person. What power do you have to judge his wisdom? What power? Even you who are angry with him, he can snuff your breath out of you. So be grateful that there's breath in your nostrils and at least you can cry. Listen to me. In such difficult times, if you can't eat alone, join a group of people to eat. I didn't hear it. Amen. I'm not used to eating in a group so much. But I remember when I lost my mother, I'd go to the university canteen and sit down and buy food and say, let's eat. When I look at somebody, the atroma of somebody, and that kind of jolly, jolly eating that I was doing, I was encouraged. So I also did likewise. Find ways of bringing yourself back on track. Put your hands together. Otherwise, you speak against God. Otherwise, you say things that you regret. And some of it, God didn't really forgive them. Forgive me for my bluntness. Don't do foolish talk. And feel that, oh, I must say it how I feel. They said it how they felt. And they died in the wilderness. So this was an unexpected attack for David and his men. It was at that time that David encouraged himself and took a few people. Now he left some people behind and went to invade the camp of Amalekites. And the Bible says he took more than they took away from them. May God restore you abundantly. He took more from them than they took away to teach them sense. Next time they should come and touch a servant of God like that. Number four is failure, and sometimes repeated failure. Joshua chapter 7. Joshua led Israel into a battle in a place called Ai. And in Ai, about 30-something people of his army were killed. In Israel, for one person to be killed was not normal. And to have 36 people just killed like that when they were to have defeated the people of Ai, Joshua came back and said, let's find what happened. Listen to me. We are pastors. We are shepherds. We are not hireling. Just one attack on one life is enough for us to arise and take hold of the situation. Come on, put your hands together. Put your hands together. Just Just one attempt is enough for us to get wild instead of crying. And to battle the situation and to deal with the difficulty. And to ask God for restoration. Now, Joshua had to be persistent, had to go back. Listen to me. Failure is not a destination. It's just a stepping stone. Failure is a temporary setback. A temporary setback. It's not a permanent setback. You don't allow a negative event to shut down your engine of happiness, if I can speak that way. There is a supernatural engine of happiness inside you. One of the things that can shut it down is failure. You made an attempt and you didn't succeed. It can shut down your engine of happiness. But your engine of happiness must always be on. Because if you are to be happy, it comes from your inside. I didn't hear an amen. Some of the things that occur on the outside will add to it. But the happiness must come from your inside. And things like discouragement have the capacity to shut down that factory in you which produces happiness. I have decided that the factory of my happiness, the engine of my happiness, will be working always. Even when I'm asleep, it must work. Can I hear an amen? Oh, shout an amen. Oh, they haven't paid us. The company owes us 3 months. There's not much to eat. And it's true. And I'm not saying that you are not facing a difficulty. Psychologically, it may affect you. But David encouraged himself in the Lord. You must always be in that situation. Paul was with the people when the storms, the Euroclidean, blew against them and their ship almost capsized and they had to throw away their personal property. They had to throw away their cargo to make the ship light because water was coming in. And Paul said that no man stood by him but the angel of the Lord. Today I declare to you, somebody is standing by you. The fourth person is in your fire. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall not die. Oh, your amen is not good. The angel of the Lord last night stood by me and encouraged me. May God encourage you in the daytime. May he encourage you in the nighttime. May he encourage you while you are awake. May he encourage you while you are asleep. May you sleep in energy and wake up in energy. May you go to work in energy and come back in the energy of God. May you leave home to church full of energy and may you go back full of energy. May you contact us online with energy, and by the time we finish preaching, may your energy levels be high. That, I'm not feeling your energy. Clap, shout, say amen to God's glory. I want the happiest person. You see, we use joy as if happiness is not necessary. Happiness is also necessary. I want you to show your happiness and joy to God. Now, let God know that you are the happiest person on earth. You. These people, you are not happy at all. I cannot see. Thank you. God bless you. How can I preach effectively if I'm not happy? Every time I'm not happy. Paul said, an angel of the Lord stood by me and encouraged me. I remember when I was young, I was listening to radio, and there was this man who came in with a lot of wise sayings, and I will never forget what he said. He says, success is failure turned inside out. And it created an imagery in my mind that sometimes God will give you opportunity to have the thing, the inside turned out. But what cho atalie ni ye ajepo kono watalele. In other words, if there's failure, a temporary setback, you are there. You are there. You are close to the miracle. Just turn it around and dust it and pick your thing and continue to walk. Go back and write the exams again. You will make it. The previous relationship didn't work. Move in and cultivate a new one. It will work. Don't be afraid. Don't get a phobia that the women of today, when you caught them, it doesn't work. Oh, as for the men of today, the type of Joseph, they are finished. Listen to me. There is somebody godly waiting for you. I didn't hear an amen. Who will love you in spite of your mistakes? Who will love you with your extended family? And who will cater for you such that your father even couldn't cater for you? I didn't hear an amen somewhere. Literally pamper you and make you feel loved as a child of God. If you believe some God is sending somebody in your life, it may not be marriage, but to help you, shout amen. The Bible says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it comes the issues of life. Protect your heart. Don't be so vulnerable. Don't allow things to affect you that ideas of suicide will happen in your mind. Oh, it will be better if I took my life. It can never be better. It will be better if you face the shame, if you face the disgrace, and you despise the shame, and press on for God to restore you. Listen, there were some issues that happened to people in 1970-something. Who remembers them? There were issues that happened to people in the 80s. Who remembers them? They will remember your latter end. What happened in your latter end? What has happened to you is just your early part. So work hard and let your latter end be more glorious. Number 5. Bad criticisms. They can discourage a person. Today I'm teaching on the topic, the things that discourage. And we said number 1 was what? Going through an unfamiliar terrain. Number 2, hearing the sound of a bad news. Number 3, unexpected attacks. Number 4, failure. So we are moving on to number 5. Bad criticisms. If you look at the book of Nehemiah, remember our study on Nehemiah? Sambalat and Tobiah. And that Arabian. When Nehemiah had committed himself to rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem so that Israel will have security, they came making mockery of them. Anyele me abache. God is able to raise men out of nowhere, make them captains and champions, and make them accomplish so much. If you agree with me that you are one of them, shout amen. Put your hands together. I like that. May the Lord bless you, sir. May the Lord bless you. I hear another loud one at the back end. Say, yes. You know, people can talk. Aka tawo osofo e odo tele hu osofo ni na ma wola osofo in mo in me shila oh as for dote he doesn't know how to dress. He doesn't dress up well. How can he be a pastor? But you see, God will help mold you. I didn't hear an amen. So tell the next person, you are the next pastor God is talking. You are the next pastor. Ona, na ke osofo jipopo, okwo yoke mi mafo so. Boji osofo e, ji osofo mami, osofo mami. I'm talking to some multi-millionaires in the church. If you are the one I'm talking to, then let your shout be resounding and go to the heavens. Discouragement is bad. It's bad. Then you start blaming everyone. You start blaming your children. And that they are not remitting you. You start blaming and saying that a foolish lady has come to marry your brother and is diverting all the money into the place. You don't know it's the other way around. That it may be the woman rather who is sponsoring the house. Some of you will be very disappointed if those relatives are taken to heaven. You'll find that there's nothing that your brother owned. I'm not talking about your brother. I'm talking about their brother. Pastor, I've been expecting this uncle to send me something from abroad. The thing has not come. You are placing yourself as a candidate of discouragement. Open yourself to God and let him use the source which he wants to use to bless you. And stop this funny business of so and so. This year, we will not be discouraged. You must decide in your heart. I will get opportunities to be downcast, but I declare I shall arise. My enemies rejoice not over me when I fall. For when I fall, I will arise. And when I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be light to me. The righteous falleth 7 times, and he rises again and again and again and again and again and again. You say, I'm not happy at home. Head to the woods. Even if it's once a week, head to that place and go and pray. Because a more serious event is ahead. There are 2 serious events ahead. One can lead you more depressed. The other can bring you victory. If you choose the right path, you will nullify the one that will keep you more depressed. And you will exalt the one that will bring you victory. This year, we will not be discouraged. Mokoiba pa bufako basom dan uba basa but uba tishimla uba soy but nicho ba ye polish light go uba okay pense ba geo him me say can you be uba basom uba totally no uba shale de uba polish your shoes na shale ne the millions are coming. The hundreds of thousands are coming. The breakthroughs are coming. The overwhelming victories are coming. The promotions are coming. The exhortations are coming. It shall not be long. Danny Baba me. She came in or Yeneke and I've been at Banku Fione shot here. She ain't tobu. Banku. You see, the things that you allow to discourage you, I mean, if you think about them, it's the same. You think I'm preaching as if we're having old school fees before. We have old school fees. And I remember when the children were in primary school, sometimes they would say, oh, go and sit in the assembly hall. And they would be feeling so depressed. And somehow, by the miracle of God, the fees will be paid. Somebody say, Pastor, inye mawo, because I pay kukbeke biyo. Ah, me. Mawo ni mashinkro. Oh, you are not. You see, you are not rejoicing. I will not have sleepless nights over unpaid school fees. I will sleep deep and snore in the Holy Ghost. Discouragement this year, away from our family, away from our community, away from our household, away. If somebody loses a national election or wins it, God is still on the throne. If our national soccer team, Black Stars, play Cape Verde and win or lose, my food will not spoil. You are not getting what I'm saying. I didn't hear an amen. I remember one of our children was to travel outside after BC, and the others had traveled. Now it was at 10. And the letter of invitation with bank statement to support that came from outside had gotten a little low because the person had paid for some new house, some mortgage. So the embassy said they won't give it. The mommy came and said, Daddy, your status with the embassy is the premium. And you yourself, you need a visa. So why don't you take her back there so that you argue the case out with your own bank statement now? So I prayed for a few days and I said, let's go. You see, you have to pick yourself up. We sat there. A retired high court judge sat by me. She was the very person who gave me a letter of recommendation, and I traveled to UK and the US for the very first time. This time when we went, I picked my daughter in and I said, I'm applying for premium. Then I said, this is my daughter's. They didn't even check whether she had been refused a week ago. And they gave her the visa and I brought it home. So if you talk about disappointments, we have faced some. This high court judge, who endorsed my thing for me and gave me recommendation was refused that day. Then she said, Tete, I'm a hamini. I said, what? I was too shocked. Listen to me. It is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but it is God who showeth mercy. A chief justice may be refused, but God will show you mercy. Your destinies are different. I wish I was with you, and like I will shout more where you are seated. Yamama sinderebekia staya, ayelerebekia batia tata, yamama ndiribekia staya bra, ayana kaya. When we are preaching, you feel like we haven't gone through anything. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Are you hearing what I'm saying? Listen to me. This is how Jesus covers us. In many of the countries, the immigration law says whatever status the wife has, it covers the husband automatically. Whatever status the husband has, it covers the wife and the children automatically. So there was a period when my wife would not have a long visa, short, some of those things. I say, hold on. When I'm going to renew mine, and it's 5 years, I will add yours on top. We went there, we went to the counter, then they gave us both the same thing. Jesus died. Oh, come on. Now I'm coming to it. Jesus died and went to the counter with you and said that this is my son. I want you to provide this for him. Do you think they will refuse you? Because you and Jesus, your immigration status are the same. Let me end this message. The next point is fear. So that will be number 6. And we are looking at the discouragement of Elijah, because he heard the words of Jezebel, who said that you have killed this prophet of Baal. If I don't do the same to you, then I am not the queen. Elijah the prophet, anointed, called fire from heaven to lick his sacrifice, authorized when the king was king and he took political power, and authorized that the prophets of Baal be slain. Nobody could, you couldn't go near. The man had called fire from above. Then a little woman threatened him and he became fearful. He started running away until all the energy in him was finished. He slept, and an angel of the Lord came to wake him up and said, get up and eat, Elijah, for the journey that you have to do is long. We are eating the word of God because the rest of the year is long. The journey ahead is long, and you need to be energized so that you will rise to the occasion and move. Today, I cancel discouragement from your life. I cancel discouragement, disillusionment, depression. I cancel lack of enthusiasm, lack of energy from your life. And I release the power of God to settle upon your life, to strengthen you, to quicken you, to anoint you, to empower you, to transform you, to change you, and to make you believe you are well able to take the land, because the enemies are bread. Make you bow and say, ah, so what shall it be now that this political party has lost and another has come in? Stop that behavior. If you have any support, push it to Jesus Christ. Can I hear an amen? Because your candidate will one day lose. Some MPs have lost their primaries. All your hope seems dashed because you are depending on an assemblyman to feed you. Oh, men like ba ehi okomi ha kuchu emfe ba ekomi ke lo. It's fine if it encourages you. It's fine, but you can't live on that. I think we'll bring the message to a close here. Oh, come on, clap, 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 clap. Although the fig tree shall not blossom. That means he suffered things that his fig tree was not blossom. And the pomegranate shall not do well. And the vine of the olive shall fail. And there shall be no flesh in the stalls. Because maybe some coccidiosis or something, what? Newcastle. All kinds of diseases in the agric field. Has wiped them away. He says, yet will I rejoice in the God of my salvation. I will keep rejoicing. Come on, let me see you rejoicing. Oh, sister, let me see you rejoicing. Let me see you rejoicing. Yet will I rejoice. I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. In the name of Jesus Christ.